In Matthew 6:21, Jesus gives a timeless financial and spiritual principle. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I am Rob West. It's a simple concept and proven true countless times. But why is it true? The answer may surprise and challenge you. We'll unpack it today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, first of all, we can all agree that God's word has power. Isaiah 55:11 tells us, "So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." The Holy Spirit is the author of God's word, and he gives it, first and foremost, the power to save, but to accomplish any and all the things that God shall purpose. So that brings us back to Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That is a truth that has both a positive and negative connotation. The negative is, if you spend the resources God gives you on ungodly things, your heart will follow after those things. In the positive sense, then, the verse tells us that if we use God's resources in righteous and godly ways, our heart will naturally follow after those things. You can also look at the verse in two other ways. Is Jesus saying that the emotion comes before the act or after? Does the heart follow the treasure, or does the treasure follow the heart? And why is that important? Well, it's important because all of this is leading up to something we talk about a lot here on the program, the power of money. You see, money has power, and that's what Jesus is really saying, and probably why there are over 2,300 verses in the Bible dealing with money and possessions. You may not want to put your treasure, and it's not really yours, by the way, on godly things such as giving to your church. Maybe that's very difficult for you to do. If so, Matthew 6:21 should give you hope and encouragement. It says you can change your attitude by changing your actions. Now, how exactly does that work, especially if money has so much power over our lives? Well, money has power, but so does God's word. And so does giving. In fact, giving has a very specific power. It has the power to break money's control over us. That might seem counterintuitive, but it's true. The late Pastor Charles Stanley liked to say that we need to hold money with an open hand, because if we close our fist around it, it takes control of our thinking and our behavior. Financial teacher and author Ron Blue says, quoting now, "It's not that my heart is where I put my treasure. It's that where I put my treasure, there is where my heart will go. The heart follows the treasure, not the other way around. Jesus wants me to treasure him and a relationship with him, and I can't if money or mammon is my God," unquote. Jesus says a lot about money in the Gospels, most of it warning us about its power. A little further in Matthew 6, in verse 24, he says, "We must make a choice. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." Note that Jesus doesn't say it's difficult to serve God and money. He says it's impossible to serve God and money. He's saying you have to make a choice, God or money. In 1 Timothy 6:10, Paul tells us what happens when we make the wrong choice. He writes, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." If you doubt that's the case, consider that loving money more than God is really idolatry. It's no different than the Israelites worshiping a golden calf. Now, to be clear, there's nothing wrong with acquiring wealth and acquiring more than you need. If the Lord didn't allow that, we wouldn't have anything to give. Money is not the root of evil. The love of money is. That's what Jesus is saying in Matthew 19:23 and 24. It reads, "Truly I tell you, it is hard for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." A bit of hyperbole there, perhaps, to make a point. If you love riches, it will be difficult to enter heaven because you're choosing money over God. The only way to break the power that money has over you is to give generously to God's kingdom. I hope this encourages you to be a generous giver, starting with your local church and then expanding to other ministries as you're able. All right, your calls are next, 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word.
For parents and children alike, Christmas is exciting. And yes, opening presents can be exciting, especially for children. That's where their greatest desire is this time of year. But that's also why it's so important to learn more about and to nurture a greater desire at Christmas. In Isaiah 26, God's people sing, "Yes, Lord, we wait for you. Your name and renown are the desire of our hearts." And so as we celebrate, we remember that we are still waiting for him. One day Christ will come again, and that is the greatest desire of those who belong to him, that one day we'll see him face to face. And there is no greater gift than that. Get more daily encouragement with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
Healthcare is complicated. It doesn't have to be. If you don't love how your health insurance works, maybe it's time to leave traditional health insurance behind. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers you flexibility. Enroll anytime. Choose your own provider and select the program that fits your needs and budget. CHM is the original faith-based way of taking care of your medical bill costs. Learn more at chministries.org/faithfi.
As a nurse, I primarily work with children who are abused and exploited in trafficking, and I frequently see very unfair situations. We must talk about the issue of abuse. We can't base our actions on fear. We have to be faith-informed in what we do.
The Dr. Nurse Mama Show. For more from Dr. Jessica Peck, tune in at 2 p.m. Central on American Family Radio or on the podcast page at AFR.net.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
We're grateful for support from Timothy Plan. For more than 30 years, they've served clients on a biblically responsible journey to invest in a way that honors God and gives dignity to people's lives. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services LLC.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Well, it's almost time to begin taking your calls and questions today. We want to turn the corner to whatever is on your mind financially. That number, 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. We want to give you the rest of the broadcast, help you think about the questions and issues you're dealing with in your financial life today through the lens of Scripture. Here at year end, what a great opportunity to think about two things in particular. One is how you're preparing for perhaps a financial reset in the new year. What a great opportunity to strengthen your financial foundation. What a great opportunity to take a look at how you can shore up, perhaps starting that emergency fund or paying down debt once and for all. Maybe re-looking at your spending plan. You know, expenses are up. I don't have to tell you that across the board. So this is a great time to say, what are we actually spending and where do we need to cut back so we can have margin? And remember, margin or surplus is critical to being able to accomplish your long-term goals. You know, beyond your discretionary and fixed spending on a monthly basis, your ability to give more, save more, be able to dump debt beyond just a minimum scheduled payment is dependent upon your ability to have something left over at the end of the month. That won't happen without a spending plan. By the way, when you do that, align it with your values so that your spending as a tool of God's resources is a true reflection of what's most important to you. And this may be a good time to say, I'm not spending my money on those things that are most important to me. And so I'm going to rethink my spending plan, and then I'm going to have a system to control it. That's where the FaithFi app comes in. So this is a great time of year to be thinking about a financial reset as we head into the new year. There's another thing to think about this time of year. Let me get to that in just a second. I'll mention we do have lines open. So if you have questions, now's the time to get in the queue. We'll begin taking those here in just a moment. Questions on any financial topic, 800-525-7000. Again, that number you can call right now, 800-525-7000. The other thing to think about this time of year is the ability to be generous. Perhaps you take some time, maybe it's after Christmas, between Christmas and New Year's, to sit down and really think about, what is my opportunity to give generously during this season? How can I bless those that are on my heart, that have a need, those ministries that are aligned with God's purposes and aligned with my passions at the same time? What could I be doing to fund the work of the Lord? And perhaps you have a bit more than you expected this year, maybe because you've seen some appreciation in your stock portfolio, maybe not your 401k, although it could be. Maybe it's in that taxable account where you have some stocks that or mutual funds that ran up, you weren't expecting it. What if you made a gift of appreciated stock where you didn't have to pay the capital gain and you got more money to work in the kingdom? Well, it's a great opportunity, whether you fund the work here at FaithFi, where we've got a match going until the end of the year, till December 31st at faithfi.com, and you want to help more people be stewards of God's resources, we could use your support here, again, faithfi.com. Or maybe it's the American Family Association coming alongside the culture-transforming work of AFA and AFA Action and American Family Studios and 1 Million Moms and iVoter Guide and all the incredible resources there that is changing the culture in the name of Jesus. Connecting with the AFA Foundation team could be a real blessing because they could help you think about that gift of appreciated stock. Think about funding that charitable gift annuity for lifetime income and a partial deduction and the ability to take whatever's left at your death and continue to fund the work of AFA. You know, those are giving opportunities. Maybe it's something completely different. Maybe there's a passion of yours around a project in some part of the world that you just want to be invested in. Or maybe it's somebody on your path, somebody in your neighborhood or that you encounter regularly at a restaurant you visit frequently. You want to bless with a gift. Maybe it's giving to your church and a special project they have going on right now. Whatever it is, think about your giving as a way to live out your hardwired identity. Here's what I mean by that. We were created in the image of God. He is the ultimate giver. So we should be a generous people. We should take a portion of what we get and get it to work in God's economy. And there's incredible joy that follows when we do that. We want to be leaning into that. And here on this program, we want to help you order your finances so you can, in fact, in part, give more money away. And what a great time of year to be thinking about that. All right. We'll talk more about that in a bit. Let's get to some phone calls today. By the way, still a few lines open, 800-525-7000 with any financial question you can call right now. Let's go to North Carolina to begin today. Hi, Mark. Thanks for your call, sir. Go ahead.
Hey, how we doing?
I'm doing great.
Yeah, I just had a quick question. It's just a quick question on where I work at. They're offering a 401. They already have the regular 401k program, but they're also offering the Roth, the 401 Roth now, too. And I was just wanting to know what the percentages would you recommend? How much did I put in the regular Roth, on the regular 401k versus the Roth? Now I will say this: they do match about 10% on the original 401k, but they don't match nothing on the Roth.
Got it. Okay, yeah, that's important information there right at the tail end there. Well, Mark, I love that your plan administrator has added both the Roth and the traditional option because I really like the Roth. However, I like the match even more because that's free money. So you want to fully subscribe that match And not until you do you want to think about diverting anything to the Roth. But if you're putting in that full 10%, you're getting 100% of the available match in the traditional. Now, all of a sudden, we can start to think about the Roth. There's a couple of factors that drive whether or not you'd be better off in the traditional versus the Roth. One is both the tax rates today and in the future, and that's unfortunately an unknown. We have a little more clarity about where taxes are headed in the near term, meaning the next 4 years, just because of the outcome of the election, whereas we would have expected if the election had turned out differently with Kamala Harris winning, we would have expected that the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act would have sunsetted at the end of 25, which it's expected to do, and we would have seen higher tax rates. Now, with a Republican-controlled House and Senate, President Trump-elect coming into office, we expect we will at least maintain those low rates, if not see potentially even lower tax rates. So that's one of those unknowns that's now at least clearer in the short term. The other issue is just, are you at the peak of your earning years right now where, you know, you could get a more of a benefit going into the traditional and getting that deduction today versus paying tax on it in the future? You know, there is a case to be made if you're up at the peak of your earnings potential, you know, you could get more of a deduction today. But there's also the case to be made, you know, that in the retirement season, your income is going to be lower, and therefore the money coming out of the traditional IRA that's then added to your taxable income, that's a more opportune way to go. So here's, let me just kind of boil it down to some research that was done on this. Some researchers in the University of Arizona looked at thousands of real life situations to say, what would have been the sweet spot in terms of the mix between traditional 401k and Roth for thousands of retirees? And what they concluded was basically a rule of thumb that says, if you add the number 20 to your age, that's the percentage you should put in traditional with the balance in Roth. So if you're 50, and I didn't ask your age, but let's say you are, you'd put 70% in the traditional, 20 plus your age of 50, and then you'd put the balance 30% in the Roth. That would be a good rule of thumb. But again, let me go back to my first point, which is I wouldn't even consider anything in the Roth until you fully subscribe the match. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right. I really appreciate that.
Absolutely, Mark. Thanks for your call. Back with more on Faith and Finance just around the corner.
AFA Action takes attacks on the family seriously. The enemies of the family constantly employ new tactics to try to sneak past our radar. They know if we stand together, their evil plans will fail. Your gift to AFA Action allows us to stay vigilant against their onslaught. And if you give this month, you'll receive access to the Cultural Institute video, When Your Faith is Illegal, by Frank Harbor on AFA Stream as our thanks. You can make your gift today at afaaction.net.
FaithFi is grateful for support from OneAscent. OneAscent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. OneAscent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good. To explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values, more information is available at OneAscent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
The Bachelor of Arts in Christian Ministry at Wesley Biblical Seminary is the perfect opportunity to prepare for God's calling on your life. It's easy to make excuses why you can't pursue what God has called you to do, but this program removes those barriers. Flexible class options, an affordable cost, and highly trusted professors. WBS is the school for you, and now is the time to take a next step and prepare for God's calling on your life. Learn more at wbs.edu. That's wbs.edu.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
If you believe in the work of the American Family Association and you want to ensure that it continues for generations, consider including a gift in your will or trust. It's one of the most popular and effective ways to give. You'd simply connect with one of your advisors who would help you include language in your will or trust to include a specific gift to the American Family Association. If you'd like to learn more or connect with an advisor who can help you with that, just go to afafoundation.net.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today. That number to call, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you today. Whatever's on your mind in your financial life, go ahead and give us a call right now. Again, 800-525-7000. Let's go to Tennessee and welcome Ron to the broadcast. Thanks, Ron, for calling. Go ahead.
Good morning. Could you explain the terms of backwardation and the terms of national debt and what the difference is? Because when our currency gets the rug pulled, we're at $35 or $36 trillion in debt. What means would the government use against our will to pay down the debt that we did not approve of, but we sent people to Congress to approve of, and then they usurp our will? What is the answer? Is there like a mathematical computation that can derive where's the cutoff point of no return where we have to go to backwardation? In other words, I have to trade, you know, 3 dozen eggs from my chickens so that I have gas to get to work or not. I mean, can you explain the difference between those terms and then the variable in between, which is the how do we computate which what is the cutoff point where there's the point of no return?
Yeah. Interesting question. I mean, although they're two completely different concepts, you know, there would be some connectivity in the sense that economic conditions influence both the national debt, you know, which can influence the broader economic condition, and inflation and interest rates are key drivers in the commodities markets, which is where backwardation occurs. And then obviously government policies can impact both. So policies relate to national debt because you've got infrastructure spending or subsidies and, you know, budget deficits that drive more debt, and that can affect commodity supply and demand. So if the government invests in, let's say, renewable energy to reduce oil dependency, it might lower future oil demand and contribute to backwardation in the oil market. And then you've obviously got risk sentiment, because when debt levels are high, investors may worry about a country's economic stability. And then during times of uncertainty, like economic instability, investors will often rush to buy physical commodities for immediate use, and that could push prices into backwardation. And then I would say, finally, you know, commodities, especially energy and food, are essential to an economy. So their prices affect national debt servicing, because higher energy prices, which is often tied to backwardation, can increase government costs, and it can affect tax revenues, because higher commodity prices can boost government revenue in, you know, resource-rich countries like, you know, the U.S. So, you know, imagine a government with high national debt like us faces an economic crisis, then oil prices enter backwardation because supply is scarce and demand is high, and that could increase inflation, making government debt harder to manage. And then it pressures the government to raise taxes or cut spending, which affects the overall economy and market rates. So I think the big idea here is, and maybe just to back up and provide a definition for each of them, because a lot of folks may be looking at this saying, well, wait a minute, what are you even talking about? Backwardation is basically a term that's used in commodity trading, where, you know, imagine you buy something today that you could also buy in the future, like oil or wheat or gold. Normally, you'd expect it to be higher in the future because of storage costs and insurance and other factors, market factors. But in backwardation, the opposite happens. The current price, what they call the spot price, is higher than the price for delivery in the future. And so, you know, I think although they're two entirely different things, they are interrelated. Now, with regard to where we might be headed with our national debt, I think what we need to recognize is that we now, in our lifetimes, I think, are in the situation for the first time where, because we're at 125% of GDP, because servicing the national debt is about to be the largest federal expense, you know, we are in a situation where we can see it's plausible that, let's say, in the next 10 years, we could have a European-style debt crisis. And what would happen there? Well, we would have to move into austerity, and we'd have to shore up, you know, worldwide confidence by dramatically cutting expenses, and nobody wants to do that. We'd see higher inflation. We would see, you know, a number of implications to that. We could get through it, but we'd probably have slower growth and high inflation, and we've all felt the effects of that in the last few years, and that's not fun. So I think that's why this more renewed interest in dramatically cutting government spending, dramatically shrinking the size of the U.S. government, which President-elect Trump is talking a lot about. And it's why this Department of Government Efficiency with you know, Musk and Ramaswamy is getting so much attention, because it's needed. There needs to be some hard decisions made to modernize our government, to shrink it, to simplify it, and to cut costs so we can balance our budget and get that debt not increasing at a dramatic level like it is now, which is unsustainable, but coming down. The challenge is it's not easy to do, because it's largely driven by a couple of big rocks that you really can't move. I mean, you know, are we going to really spend that much less on defense in the world in which we find ourselves today? And, you know, you've got to service the debt because you can't default. And then you've got entitlements, and nobody wants to cut those. And yet there's plenty of waste there, as we've heard about, and we will see play out over the next couple of years. So I think we're entering some interesting times. I'm excited about the renewed interest in getting our financial house in order here in the United States, because we absolutely need to do it. But I've given you a long answer to a short question. I hope that's helpful to you today, Ron, and I appreciate you raising it. We've got lines open today. The number to call, 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's go to Arkansas. Bill, you're next up. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi. Thank you so much for your ministry and, you know, what you do. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
And, you're welcome. What I'm calling about is I'm a firm believer that the shackle is going to be strong the decades ahead compared to the American dollar.
So let me ask you this, Bill. I hate to interrupt you, but I do have to take a hard break here. So I'm going to ask you to hold that question. We'll get to it just on the other side of the break. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
We're grateful for support from Timothy Plan. For more than 30 years, they've served clients on a biblically responsible journey to invest in a way that honors God and gives dignity to people's lives. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services LLC.
Fostering and adoption is not a band-aid for infertility.
Nope,
like it is a calling, and God can change the desire of your heart and make that so rewarding. It's the most beautiful, selfless thing. It's pure religion, but it's not a fix to I desire biological child. God has to deal with that in your heart separately.
Hannah's Heart, encouraging couples through infertility and miscarriage. Saturdays, 4 a.m. Central on AFR or on the AFR app.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. financial wisdom for living well. SoundMindInvesting.org.
Imagine having biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox every week, helping you integrate your faith and financial decisions for the glory of God. At faithfi.com, you can join a community of over 70,000 people who are already receiving our weekly wisdom email, filled with articles, videos, podcasts, and exclusive offers on resources that will deepen your understanding of biblical stewardship. Start your journey today by creating your FaithFi account at faithfi.com. Just click sign up.
The loss of a child through abortion, miscarriage, or stillbirth affects the emotional health of families. Feelings of anger, sadness, and regret can be overwhelming. There is hope and healing in the aftermath of a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline at 866-482-LIFE to talk with someone who has been where you are and healed to help others. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
Paying too much for health insurance? Frustrated by high deductibles and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high costs of healthcare. Take control over your healthcare costs with a program from CHM that could save you up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio, helping you see God as your ultimate treasure and live out a biblical worldview in every facet of your lives, including your role as a steward of God's money. Hey, we've got lines open today, taking your calls and questions on anything financial. That number to call, 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. Any financial question in play today, you can call right now. Before the break, we were talking to Bill in Arkansas, and Bill was just starting down the road of talking about investing in Israel and the shekel. Bill, I apologize for interrupting you. I'll let you pick up where you left off and see if I can give you some help.
Thank you. Yeah, other than Timothy plan, which during the break was mentioned, that's a viable option I explored in the past. Are there other areas that I can explore? I'm in my 70s. I have we own our home outright. We have little or no debt, very low. I mean, under $1,000 now, I think, or somewhere around there. Just we carry on interest-free credit cards. I don't know why. I'll pay that off soon. And then we have retirement in six figures that we draw from occasionally. And we live simply. But I'm wanting to up to 10% of that self-directed IRA invest in Israel, because I believe that their shekel will remain strong compared to our dollar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a great question, Bill, and I love where you're going there, because, you know, we need to think about our deployment of capital as one of the ways that we can propel our values and bring our biblical values to bear in providing capital to businesses, and in this case, currencies that align with our values and our priorities as Christ followers. And clearly, I would share your belief about Israel and the Israeli new shekel. And, you know, apart from, you mentioned Timothy Plan, that's a great option. And for folks that don't know about it, you can check out the Timothy Plan Israel Common Values Fund, which is a great fund where they invest solely in companies that are domiciled or incorporated in the country of Israel. It's one of the only funds of its kind, and it's an opportunity to support this growing market of a nation that maintains a common moral fabric of the U.S. And so it's a growth-oriented fund with a moderate level of risk. You could check that out, timothyplan.com. Apart from that, Bill, you know, as you think about it, I mean, you know, one way to go would be to invest in the currency, in the shekel, which you could do a couple of different ways. You know, you could use one of the currency exchange platforms like the Forex trading platform, forex.com, and you could trade the ILS against the US dollar. These platforms let you buy and sell currencies directly. You could buy, and this would be even simpler, one of the foreign exchange traded funds, ETFs. So there are some ETFs that focus on foreign currencies, which make it a little simpler because you don't need to actually invest in the currency directly. And so you would just look for ETFs tracking either Israeli bonds or equities or the currency itself. But you would look for ETFs that, are denominated in shekels. You could look at investing in Israeli government bonds. So you can purchase Israeli government bonds, which are issued in shekels, and buy them through either an international broker or a bank with access to foreign markets. And then I think a great way to invest in Israeli businesses would be, through the fund that we talked about, a Timothy plan. So I would say those are perhaps the directions you could go, and you have a little bit more flexibility with that self-directed account than you would with just a traditional brokerage account. So you could do something like I'm describing here. Just know that when you go into it, you're probably going to have a little more volatility because currency values, as you know, swing based on global and regional events, and there's plenty of them there. There's a little higher transaction costs, and then there, of course, alongside the volatility, there's just general geopolitical risk, which can impact the shekel's value. But hopefully that helps you a little bit.
Yeah, that's perfect. I was waiting for your question. Does that make sense? Yes, it does.
Yes, exactly. Good. Well, you anticipated that, and I'm glad to know that it does. So obviously you listen regularly, and I'm grateful for that. Well, listen, Bill, all the best to you, my friend. And if we can ever serve you in any other way in the future, don't hesitate to give us a call. 800-525. He knew what I was going to ask him. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We have lines open. We'd love to tackle your questions today between now and the end of the program. 800-525-7000. Hank is in Indiana. Hank, you're next up on the program, sir. Go ahead.
Hey, I like your program, and it teaches a lot of people, and God is good. My question is about, you see these advertisements where people are stealing these houses?
Yeah.
By paperwork. Is that really going on? Is that necessary to have insurance?
Is it going on? Sure. Is it isolated, very remote? For sure it is. And do you need, quote, protection against it? No, I don't think that would be worthwhile for you to spend money on, because it doesn't actually protect your home title from being stolen. Keep in mind, if somebody were to follow through, a fraudster, a crook, were to follow through on stealing your home title by fraudulently transferring it into their own name and, let's say, taking out a loan against it, well, that, at the end of the day, that's not going to hold up in court if somebody tries to foreclose on you, your lender, because it was done fraudulently. Now, would it be a big hassle, and could there be some expense involved? Absolutely. But the bottom line is that it would be a stolen asset, and they can't actually, quote, provide insurance against that because, again, it wasn't done legally. Now, could they provide some assistance financially to help you right the situation and deal with the legal fallout of that to get it all back in working order and alert you, perhaps, if there's a change in your title? Yes. But given the low risk, I mean, that's ultimately a decision you have to make, but I wouldn't say it's a worthwhile monthly expense you would want to add to your budget. So what do you do instead? Well, the first thing you'd want to do is call your county records office and see if at no cost, and more are doing this in our new electronic age, see if you can get an alert placed on your particular deed such that if there was ever a change to the status of the deed or a change in the titling of the deed, you would be alerted automatically with an email or a text or something. More and more counties are offering this, and it should be a free service if they have it. I would ask that. Beyond that, what would you do? Well, just general protective measures that are best practices. Go ahead and freeze your credit reports. It's free with each of the three bureaus, TransUnion, Equifax, Experian. You got to do it with all three. Keep personal financial information secure. Check your credit regularly. Don't give out your Social Security number. Destroy documents with a shredder that has the cross cut with personal information. Don't use public Wi-Fi when you're logging into your sensitive information or your financial accounts. Those kinds of things. But do you need to pay for home title lock or protection? No, I don't think you do. Does that make sense?
It does. And then, so wouldn't the mortgage company know that something's going on?
Not necessarily. There wouldn't automatically be alert there because it happens at the deed level at the county records office, not with the mortgage company. They would only find out when somebody tried to change it. We got to take a break. We'll be right back.
To all of our friends on American Family Radio, this is Michael Brown. Thrilled to announce to you that we have a brand new 30-minute daily equipping broadcast that will light a fresh fire in your life and will infuse you with faith and truth and courage to help you stand strong in the Lord. It's coming your way 12:30 every single night, 5 days a week. Don't miss a single broadcast on the Line of Fire. I believe your life will be changed.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
You look at three of the four justices there in Colorado that voted to remove him from the ballot. They all came from Ivy League schools, schools that had been created as divinity schools. What a picture of the apostasy in America when it comes to the church.
Stay informed with Tony Perkins and his guests on Washington Watch, weekdays at 4 p.m. Central on AFR, or catch up anytime with the podcast at AFR.net.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Really great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions. Here in our final segment, I've got room for a few more questions today. If you want to call right now, you got to get in quickly, 800-525-7000. Any financial questions today, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let me just kind of put a bow on my conversation with Hank before the break, because I had to quickly wrap that up. But Hank was asking about home title protection, what's often referred to as home title insurance, which is a misnomer. There is title insurance, which is very appropriate, where you would, when you get a mortgage, you get title insurance. It has nothing to do with protecting you. It's protecting essentially your lender so that they know that there's clear title. And if there's not clear title out there, that's when the insurance steps in. And so that's really to protect them, and you need it. It's required. Title lock insurance or home title insurance, not just title insurance, is meant to kind of make you whole, protect you from financial loss from a fraudulent change in the title or the deed to your home. He asked right at the tail end, and after I had said we don't recommend that for most folks, just because what I would rather you do is contact your county property tax records office through your county's website to see if they have a service or a tool to monitor changes to your property title and notify you of suspicious activity. Many of them have free alert systems, so you're going to want to check that. Beyond that, you can review your own property tax records, because even if they don't have a free alert system, they absolutely have a county website that you can go and see if your deed is still listed appropriately. But he asked, wouldn't my mortgage company be alerted or notified of the change, and I said they may not, and that's just the case. Because, you see, title and deed changes happen at the county level, and so they're typically recorded at the county recorder's office, and there's no automatic system to notify a mortgage lender when a change is made. So even if someone fraudulently changes the title or the deed, the mortgage lien still exists. And basically the way they would generally find out is if there was a refinance or a sale, you know, that occurred. So if the fraudster tries to refinance the property to get the money out of the property, well, then the original mortgage holder would be notified. And at that point, they would, you know, contact you and try to find out what's going on, because they wouldn't be getting paid. And so they'd have a concern about that. So anyway, hopefully that here clears that up, Hank. Thanks for asking that great question. That comes up pretty often. All right, let's head to Virginia. Joy, you're next up on the program. Go ahead.
Yes, enjoy your program greatly.
Well, thank you.
A lot of help.
Oh, that's really kind.
My question is, my husband and I just retired about 3 years ago. We bought our first home ever. He was a pastor, so we always had parsonages. And we overbought in two respects. It's too big of a home, and I never had owned a home before, so nobody ever told me that your payments could go up every year due to taxes and insurance hikes. So we're pretty much out of the spectrum of where we need to be for the cost monthly of our home. So now that Trump is in, I'm praying that interest rates on homes will be going down. And if so, at what point could we consider selling our present home? Because we'd have to have another home to go to, so we can't do one without the other. But we're at a 3.3 rate on this home.
Yes.
So,
well, it's a great question, and I can certainly appreciate where you're at, because the reality of the situation is this is one of the big three budget busters. You know, usually when folks are struggling to make ends meet and just don't have any margin, it usually comes down to either homes, cars, or food. Food's a lot easier to kind of rein in and rectify. Cars are a little easier. Homes are much more difficult, just because the transaction costs and the moving, and as you point out, the interest rates, if you still have a mortgage, are a big factor in all of that. So much more difficult to unwind. And so that's why I think we don't want to repeat the same mistake, in the sense that what you don't want to do is trying to improve your situation, end up in a worse situation, because even though you downsized with the higher mortgage rates and the cost of moving and the transaction cost to sell and then to buy, you actually don't improve yourself one bit at all. And you went through all the headache and hassle of the move, and now you've got a smaller place. You know, and even though the carrying costs would go down, maybe lower utilities and property taxes and all of that, you just may not get the savings that you're really looking for. So I think it's important that you do what you can to kind of keep your head above water, and then be really thoughtful and strategic about your next move. And that's going to play into, number one, what is that purchase price you can really afford? And home affordability is challenging now because prices are high and interest rates are high. Now, the good news is you do own a home, and hopefully you're going to take advantage of the run-up in housing prices on the sale. So that's good. And hopefully we can roll any of that equity into this next property. The key would be what you're hitting on, which is the mortgage rate. And that's just going to be a function of what is that payment that you can afford, principal, interest, taxes, and insurance. I'd probably use 25% of your income as a guide. If you could be 25% or less, that would be ideal. And to your point, you've got to leave room for increases in the future. I mean, we've got to have a double whammy in the last several years because of the incredible run-up in housing prices. Property taxes are going up with it. And then, you know, we've got homeowners insurance that's been on the rise as well due to a high inflation and just some of the supply chain constraints of construction prices and, you know, all of that, which has pushed homeowners prices up. So all that to say, number one, let's start with the budget, Joy, and figure out what is that right all-in monthly payment that gives us some room for some upside in the future, even though hopefully it'll slow at the rate of increase for property taxes and insurance. And that's probably, you know, a good starting point for that would be my 25% of income number. And then second, what is the mortgage you could have at various interest rates? We need to probably play this out at, you know, what if it was a 4.9% rate? What if it was 5.5%? What if it was 6%? And then figure out, you know, what that mortgage is you could have. And then you'd have to determine how much could you truly get out of your home after expenses and after the move that you could put down on it to get to that mortgage payment. And then you could back into, okay, what can we afford to spend on this next purchase? And then now you can go shopping and don't look at any houses that go above that price. You know, in terms of, you know, you don't want to find something you fall in love with and then you get back into the same position where you buy more house than you can afford. Now, the $1 million question is, I know I'm giving you a lot here, so I hope you're tracking with me. Where are interest rates going to be a year from now and 18 months and 2 years from now? The best information we have right now, most economists and experts in this space think we'll probably be in the low sixes, high fives at the end of next year. That would be at least something you could start working with to say, okay, at 6%, what could we afford? And then if you're willing to wait maybe 18 months or 2 years, maybe we get down into the low fives. But I don't think we're probably going below that anytime soon. Give me your thoughts on all that, though.
Yes, that is a lot of information. Good information. Well, that answered my question as to how long we need to plan to stay where we are, because we do have that good interest rate and we love the home. It's just, like I said, we overbought, and I can't hardly keep the house up anyway. I just didn't know what rate to be watching for and how long you thought it might take.
Yeah. I mean, and I think, you know, the challenge is because you're already in a difficult spot, you want to get out from under this as soon as you can. So one option would be, well, can we get into something, you know, as soon as it gets to 6.5%, knowing that we could refinance maybe a couple of years later if we can get 1.5 to 2 points below that. But you got to be able to find something to buy that's going to solve for the cash crunch. And, you know, that's not going to be easy to do. And so it may mean, you know, we need to think about getting some part-time work or, I mean, there's a number of things you could do. But unfortunately, I don't think these rates are coming down to the threes anytime soon, maybe probably not even to the fours.
Okay. When you say not anytime soon, what does that mean to you?
You know, it's just so hard to know where this economy is headed. I mean, I'm a big believer that the things that President Trump is talking about are the right things for our economy, to deregulate, shrink government, cut costs, get government out of the way, let business do what business does to supply capital for goods and services. And we can, through technology, overcome some of our headwinds with shrinking populations and lower birth rates and all those things. And if all that plays out the way we think it could we be back down to in the next 5 years to, you know, rates at 3%? Possibly. But I think the next couple of years, we're still in the high fours and fives and even low sixes.
Okay. Well, I appreciate so much, Rob, your information.
You're welcome, Joy. Merry Christmas to you. Lord bless you. Thanks for being on the program today.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you very much. Folks, as I head to the end of the broadcast here, let me just ask you two things. One, would you consider partnering with us? We can only bring you this program as a listener-supported ministry with your generous support. And between now and the end of the year, every gift is doubled. So if you've benefited from the program, you enjoy listening, we just invite you to be an investor. Gifts of all sizes doubled at faithfi.com. It'd be a real blessing to help us reach our goal. We're about $88,000 away between now and 12/31. Second thing, thank you to my team today. I couldn't do this without them. Taylor Stanridge, Sandy Dickinson, Devin Patrick, and everybody here at FaithFi. Merry Christmas to you. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.